afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Phil, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in Sunday's workshop. Welcome, Phil.
Yeah, hi, Jen. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you.
Yeah.
So living in Gassho.
Living in Gassho, wow. I mean, that's living in my heart and your heart are one. Just one heart in the universe, you know? Just one heart beating.
It's one of those, you might not need anything other than the title, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm so grateful for these workshops and, you know, of course, for, like everyone, all the practice opportunities we have. And this one was really quite interesting for me. You know, they all are, but I mean, I get something really good from each one of them. And it was interesting how this one was just kind of rolling along, you know, and picking up steam as it went, so to speak, you know?
in an hour and a half, it's amazing how much steam you can pick up.
Oh, my God, yes. We start out so, you know, look at this, look at the similarities, look at, you know, and then record. And then and there was some really nice activities that we did, you know, like being with the tree and feeling so, you know, present with the tree. And then, you know, and so we get this really nice experience of oneness. And then, you know, just being like, then getting this really good experience of being separate, you know, doing some activity that kind of, you know, you get into a problem and these opposite sides and watch what conditioning does and stuff, you know. And, you know, for me, the most interesting, the part of this was that, you know, I just did one step at a time, you know, one activity at a time, one just did what we were said to do, you know. And it was it was kind of like the last activity, you know, looking at this problem and recording it and talking about this and talking about it, where it just like everything just clicked and fell into place.
Wow.
Like the whole workshop.
Just all came together.
Yeah, in that sense, it was very clear at seeing what created the separateness, very clear at seeing what created the oneness. And, you know, one of the things I saw clearly about the separateness is we really do just need to be in that place of my heart and your heart being one, you know, like on the same side of the situation or, you know, not struggling against each other, but coming together and looking at whatever is out there, you know.
Yes, that's such a good point. It's not that there aren't things in life, goodness knows. Right now, we have so many examples of that. You know, there are challenges, there are things that come up, but the suffering seems to arise from that illusion of separation. And so living in Gassho, as you say, there's the realization that the movement is to move, to realize we're all on the same side. In fact, we're all one. So in the challenges that arise, what conditioning tries to do is split us off from each other. So then it'll be me against you. You think this, and I think this, and you should be that way, and I need to be this way, and all those things. But when there's that coming back to the living in Gassho, there's the realization that that's an illusion. That's only being made up by a conversation in conditioned mind.
Right, and you said splitting up, right? Splitting apart. It's like one entity just splitting apart, looking at each other, and starting to squabble, and like an amoeba's, you know, separating, and then it goes, and then it might go back together.
Right. Yes. Oh gosh, you could do such a good cartoon on that, huh?
Yeah, I really could. And
it really is a practice, isn't it, to keep doing that, coming back, realizing that, okay, I've been split off into the separation, coming back to the to Gassho.
Yes, right. Coming back to the it's like either the presence of oneness or the oneness of presence, or, you know, it's just even presence and oneness are all one thing. I mean, everything's one thing. And I know it's hard for, you know, people that don't have our perspective to actually get it, but it gets so clear, you know, when you're standing, like one of the things is standing, you know, just looking at the tree and just letting whatever happens, and then suddenly realizing you're the tree looking out, you know, like it's just pretty amazing.
It is amazing. And you know what I love about what you just said, Phil, is that, you know, it can feel elusive to get to that perspective. And we forget it too, even those of us practicing it all the time. And so that's so perfect what you said about having all these workshops. I mean, all of it, right? The radio shows, the morning show, the year-long retreat, and to come together on these Sunday workshops and to be led through a series of exercises where, right. It's not that we're, quote, learning something new. It's that we're being reminded of the thing that conditioning is always attempting to obscure. So we're walked through a set of exercises that once again reinforce that direct experience of oneness.
Exactly. Just over and over and over again, because that, I mean, that's what we do in our practice. We just do it over and over and over, even, you know,
that's right.
As we're practicing ourselves, but over and over and over. And then just to have this beautiful, I mean, I can't imagine. We're about the luckiest people in the world, you know, to have this external input, or however you want to say it, reminders over and over and over again.
Yes.
You know, it's absolutely miraculous. And one of the things that was the very end of the workshop, you know, we did the story of the sieve being, you know, thrown into the ocean as a symbol of that's how oneness is, you know. You just throw yourself into the ocean of life, and then not only are you filled with the ocean, it just flows right through, you know, so the life just flows right through. And I remember that story, and I hadn't thought of it in a long time. And just to hear it again and see how powerful it was.
Because we're so conditioned to go up to that beautiful, magnificent ocean and then, you know, metaphorically, try to get my little piece of it for me that I'm going to keep. It'll be mine, and I'll have it. And it's never going to work. So exactly as you say, the alternative is to just throw ourselves into the ocean of life and be completely all of it one.
Yeah, and just be immersed in, and that's what practice gives us. That's what just, and it's not even us practicing. I mean, that's what I've learned very well this past year. It's not even us practicing. It's practicing within us that makes it happen. Being practiced,
exactly. Yeah.
And I guess our job is just to be willing and open.
And that's exactly what you're describing, being willing and open. I mean, that's pretty much exactly what you said when you talked about being walked through those exercises on Sunday, that you just did the exercise as you were directed to do, and lo and behold, you have the experience.
Yeah. It's really amazing. It really is amazing. And that's what's so beautiful about our practice. The amazingness just leads to complete gratitude completely all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we just live and walk in gratitude. And
Truly. Yes, that's so right, Phil. That's so right. And all of it is offered from that gratitude. You know, there's that thing Sherry has said for years, gratitude wants to give. And then from that, you know, I had this image as you were talking about all these various different offerings, is that someone will see something, and maybe, you know, offer a workshop from that place. And I just had this image of, like, so here's that suchness that is everything, and sort of come over here, everyone, quick, we can look at it from this direction, right? We can look at it from this angle, right? And then next Sunday we're going to, everyone, come over here, we can look at it from this angle. And we all, and everyone, as you say, is completely open and willing, runs over there and sees what they see. And of course, then everyone speaks in the workshop and talks about what they're seeing, and at least in my experience, takes it to places maybe the person who created the workshop never even thought of, right? Never even imagined that. And someone sees something, and it's just, it's so fun.
Yeah, it's just the synergy of the Sangha, of the group, just taking it places we never thought we could go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's great.
Well put.
Yeah, it's good. And thank you for... enjoyed being on, being able to talk about
it. Well, thank you for once again being open and willing to be with us and to add in the perspective as it's seen from Phil.
Exactly. Yeah, right. All right. So thank you, Jen. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Phil. Take good care. Good night.
You too. Good night.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Phil. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. That was fun.
That was another great conversation.
Uh-huh.
Among
it
many
really
great conversations that we have regularly.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
It's just nonstop.
It is nonstop. It is definitely nonstop.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I need. So I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, me too. I don't want to get, I always say this, I don't want to get political and then I get political. but I was watching something this afternoon. I saw a news thing and I was watching it, and I don't know how many people are following this, but a young man, a grown man, he's had got three kids, but was just shot point blank range 7 times in the back while a police officer had his hand holding his t-shirt. And he's alive, if you can imagine such a thing. And of course he was in surgery, and now he's back in surgery, and I mean there's basically nothing left of him. But what I watched was his family. They did a news conference to talk about what was going on and, how he was and, how they were proceeding. And, of course, they're completely devastated, right? He's African-American and, this is one, it's just a continuing saga in our country. It's it feels like it's a daily basis now, this kind of thing is happening. And his mother was talking to people about healing and the need for healing and the need for, she asked that everyone, look in your heart and pray together. All of us, what Bill was talking about reminded me particularly of this. That we're one, we are one, and with all that happens to us, we have the ability to heal if we will just remember that we're one. And of course, they're from a very Christian perspective, and that orientation of everyone is a child of God, and everyone has the ability to be in that place for one another, and of course I'm crying as she's praying for the police officers who shot him, and asking that people not be violent and that protests not be violent or harmful, and just this deep spiritual place. And I thought, oh my goodness gracious, if we could just be in those conversations all the time, just keep our focus on the conversations, you know, in our way of talking about it, of course, it's for awakening, for being in Gassho, remembering my heart and your heart are one, and coming from that place so that we would treat everyone's child the way we would want our child to be treated, and feel, live from our oneness instead of the crazy places that we get to when we turn attention away from my heart and your heart are one. And we forget that. And it starts being about the, I'm going to get this little bit for me. And then this little bit needs to be more, and it needs to be more, and it needs to be more. And pretty soon we're off there in that separation that allows us just to basically do anything to anybody because we've forgotten who we are. So, yeah, I love that conversation.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it makes me cry also as you describe it.
We're, you know, I think our sangha is special. You know, I listen to that mother, and I think, well, her sangha is pretty darn special too. You know, the people that she is with, who were you know, who were there with her and supporting her, and see the world from that perspective. And of course, I'm mostly kidding about that because we see as sangha, well, we see everybody as sangha, but then there's the sangha that knows their sangha. Which is all the people attempting to walk in that direction of peace and love and kindness and compassion. And then there are people walking who seem not to know they're walking, but they're still sangha, and we trust that they're still heading in that same direction. But I think with our sangha, we do spend so much time focused on how we want to be and how we want the world to be, the difference that we want to see for ourselves, our own lives, and for everybody's life. And it's just a wonderful way to live. And I wish everybody could, you know, because it makes such a difference. It's a difference between unhappy and happy. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's made a huge difference for me, that's for sure.
Do you have announcements for us, Michael?
I do. Mark, mark your calendars for August 30th for our next Sunday workshop, Be the Person You Want to Find. Registration will open tomorrow for this fun and interactive Sangha experience.
Boy, that fits right in, doesn't it? Because that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. How is the world going to be different? Well, I need to be different. Instead of looking for the right people, you know, the kind and loving and compassionate people for the person who's going to love me unconditionally. I don't know that that's what that workshop is about, but I'm suspicious with that title.
Yes, yes. And for those who have taken the introductory RL training class, the next magical step is here. True Reflections, a 6-week virtual training in cultivating attention on awareness, will use recording and listening exercises and homework assignments to help us cultivate a friendship that will support us throughout our lives. 3 True Reflections classes start in September.
And I got to say, it's good.
Great.
It is really, really good.
That's exciting.
I recommend it highly. Not only did I have the great good fortune to be part of the creative process with it, but I've also done it. It's powerful. It's good.
Yes, and it's another way to continue this ongoing conversation that we have.
Yeah. Yes, and to that my heart and your heart are one, you know, if that alienation or separation that we feel is from ourselves, which is where an awful lot of people are stuck,
yes.
then that's the first place to bring gassho, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, recording and listening, that's the whole deal with it, because the person who needs to be brought into that unconditional love and acceptance is ourself. And from there, now we can begin to spread that, you know, look for other people to be in gassho with.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make gassho and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic lasts about 5 minutes is great. Okay, Sherry, you ready?
I'm ready. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mary Beth from Boston.
Hey, Mary Beth.
Well, hello.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. Good to talk with you both. A couple weeks ago, I was inspired by some callers that called in that said, you know, they've listened for a long time, but either hadn't called in a long time or had never called in. So I'm one of those, haven't called in about 8.5 years. So I,
wow.
I was inspired.
Well, thanks for not forgetting us.
Yeah. And actually definitely haven't forgotten you guys. I listened to the archives. The archives have put me, it's how I fall asleep each night for years. So thank you. Mm. And I've put Tuesday evening on my calendar for a while, and then just, you know, egocentric karmic conditioning got a hold of it, and off I went. And next thing I know, it's Wednesday morning. But I made a promise to some friends this morning and to call in, and I was like, okay, nothing's
all right.
Getting in the way here.
Keeping that promise. There you go.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, you know, what I wanted to ask about, and of course, ego-centric karma conditioning is already like, you know the answers, but we'll just put that at bay for a moment. Is when ego-centric karma conditioning, I'll just describe it as being just incredibly brutal and has something to say about it, to the point that I don't even think to, oh, let me lay out the process, or let me notice that I'm identified, or let me pick up the recorder, or it's like I'm just so, you know, and then it's in those times that it's like there's all these tools and all these resources, so grateful, and then I'm, you know, believing, you know, just wrapped up in those beliefs there, and so it's like I have the books I've been on, you know, I haven't been on a retreat in a while, but I've been on about 4 or 5 and all amazing. I look back and just recently it's just been really brutal where you just feel like you can't even get a breath sometimes. So just wanted to call in.
Well, the good news, Mary Beth, is that it gets so brutal that, as I'm fond of saying, it drives us to practice.
Mm.
Right, it gets so bad. Now, of course, we know when it gets that bad and people don't know that there's a way out, that is truly horrific. But for those of us who do know, and you and I are two of those people, then we might get fooled into going along with it for a while. Apparently, this is true. This is very human. Medical people say this. You know, somebody will come into the doctor's office and they're way far gone. And the question is, why didn't you say something sooner? Why didn't you come in sooner? Well, it wasn't that bad.
Mm.
And that's a big technique that ego uses. You know, it is bad. But then just like, well, you know the answer. You don't need to ask. So it's really bad, and I'm going to reach out to somebody – Oh, you don't need to do that. It's not that bad. Well, actually, it is that bad. And it doesn't need to be that bad, right? Am I unhappy? Well, that's bad enough. Am I listening to hateful voices in my head? Well, that's bad enough. I don't need to do that for a day. I don't need to do that for an hour. I don't need to do that for a minute, right? And that, what you're describing, I project, is how we make that movement, how we make that turn. Because for a while, it's not that bad. You know, you're doing fine. You know, I imagine you have family and friends and work and stuff. And, you know, it's not that bad. And besides, Mary Beth, you probably do have a number of flaws that need to be brought up regularly. And so you can be improved, you know, so that you, right? So that, 'cause it's for your own good, right? And then after a while, it just gets to that point of, no, I don't. And so let me ask you this. Did you talk to your friends about this, and did they say, why don't you call and talk about it? Did you have that kind of support? Is that what you were referring to?
Oh, they're not familiar with the practice. It was more of we're accountability buddies for each other kind of each day about, you know, we're all small business owners and, okay, what are you going to get done today kind of thing.
Got it.
I said, okay, here's the thing I don't want to promise because, you know, it hasn't worked out in the last 8.5 years. But so I just said it this morning, and they said, okay, great. Well, look forward to hearing how the radio show went tomorrow morning. You know?
I love it. Tell them thank you, okay? Tell them thank you for me. Yes. And there, you know, that's how practice works, right? And the movement, we're just putting one foot in front of the other. And finally, you get to that place of, you know, I don't want to put up with this any longer. And so then we have the conversation. Right?
Yeah. No, that's great. You're also reminding me that egocentric karmic conditioning can also be like, you know, like I was just thinking, why didn't I share more about this with them? And the voice can be right there of like, oh, no, you can't do that. Or
you don't do that. What are they going to think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's a theme, too. Like but yet at the same time, it can also be like, well, why are you alone? Or why do you do these things by yourself? Or why do you, you know, like it plays all sides.
That's right. And the thing when you lay it out like that, that is so clear is it's an abusive relationship. And in an abusive relationship, you know, one of the hallmarks of that is, yeah, but you need to stay in this relationship because nobody else is ever going to want you.
Mm-hmm.
So you better stay here because this is as good as it's ever going to be for you. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we see that, it's like, no, clearly these people in your accountability group love you. They are on your side, right? They would not want you to suffer with this sort of thing. And probably, of course, if you talked about it honestly, when we do talk honestly about what that crap in the head is doing to us, everybody goes, oh my God, you really? Me too. Oh my God. Mine, in fact, this morning said, right? And the conversation starts and ego is revealed and everybody is relieved, and then we all have to brace ourselves because it's going to come back with a vengeance.
Hmm. Yeah. And what's there for me too is the in practicing more is that, you know, you're mentioning like a social injustice at the beginning here, and it's like, yeah, we're in wanting to make the biggest contribution I can, you know, in my time gifted on earth to as many people as possible. It's like, let's go. And I'm, you know, proud of and honored to have been a part of things I'm a part of. And goodness knows there's more. Like, let's go. So it's that ability to be present and who we really are and get our contributions out there to get this world working for everybody.
And those contributions come from love.
Mm.
Right? They come from love. And that system is trying to take the love out of our lives. And then, as you pointed out, it'll beat us up we're not being more loving and not doing more and not being a caring person and not really making a difference, right? So that kind of catching on to that sort of thing can really inspire us to, no, I've got one human being to save here, one human being to wrap up in unconditional love and save from suffering. I'm on it. Mm-hmm. No more voices. And you have a recording and listening practice, which I was delighted to hear.
Yeah, I'm working on it. It's not consistent, but I'm inspired to to be more consistent. I just tried the two hands for the first time today, putting it in the right hand and the left hand. Something
good
got solved very quickly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. And so you've been around, you've been listening to us, so you know about the year-long retreat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I should, and I did hear you say
your back
it's prorated,
pocket.
So I should, yeah.
That's right. You can join us anytime you feel like it. So as we were talking about a little bit ago, just get as much of this kind of conversation in your life as you possibly can. And, of course, that recorder and the mentor, huge, huge, huge support during those times when there isn't anybody else around to have an uplifting, loving, kind, supportive conversation with. That mentor is always there. Middle of the night, is happy to talk to you and remind you, tell you what kind of a person you really are, you authentically are, what kind of a heart you have.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
now,
you.
Don't make it another 8.5 years, please. All right.
I
and
promise.
Do tell your pals that we're very, very happy that they supported you in this because I've loved this conversation. So take good care of you, all right?
Me as well. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael. Gusho.
Gusho. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Beth. That was a fabulous conversation, Sherry. And it's great to hear.
Aren't people grand?
People are grand.
Mm-hmm.
They're incredibly grand. And it's great to see what's actually going on, which is an extraordinary amount of goodness in each of us. It's who we are and what we're up against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That we're all exactly alike. You know, details are different, but oh my God, we're all exactly alike. We can just get in touch with that heart long enough to recognize it, realize that's what we are, then that becomes our true north, and truly nothing can stop us after that.
Yes, yes. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Melody from Hawaii, and
well,
this
hello,
is the first
Melody.
Time I've ever been. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Melody.
First time you've called?
On open air, yes. It's first time.
Good for you.
Well, thank you.
All right.
And
yeah, welcome.
I hope... thank you. And I hope that my issue might help other people too, because I probably share with other people my issue, but and the issue I have has been growing worse over the decades, and right now it seems to be out of my hands, and there's just a lot of suffering around it and has been for a long time, and it's my daughter has been damaged or overshadowed by alcohol addiction and other things, and it's impaired her thinking and her judgment and the choices that she makes, and it's been difficult to watch her raise children. She's raising one and she's raised another, and my granddaughter, who's 11, is suffering from my daughter's illness. And I've done a lot of soul searching and research and recording and listening around it. And the guidance I've had from the mentor is just go with loving compassion and a heart, open heart. But that happened to get mixed up with enabling. And so I've had to back away. And now I feel a pull that my granddaughter, I can't help her. And yet when I'm there in the situation, it's toxic and it makes me stressed and I get sick. So I just want to kind of walk away from it all, but I don't know, really, I just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. And do they live close to you, Melody?
Yeah, they live on the same island. Uh-huh.
Okay. And
yeah.
And, go ahead. And what?
Yeah, they do. They live close. Uh-huh.
Okay. And so what goes on with your granddaughter? I mean, I can imagine, you know, I mean, I can't really, but I can sort of have a sense of a grown daughter, but and an inability really to affect her in any way. But with the granddaughter, it seems like the unconditional love also can appear to be enabling with her.
Well, the mother kind of sabotages anything I try to do with the granddaughter, with my granddaughter. So I get blocked or and they are in a codependent situation where they can't, you know, my daughter just can't be away from my granddaughter. She lives her whole life kind of through her. So I've only had her over at my house in her 11 years, just a few nights, you know. And so when I'm with my granddaughter, I usually have to be with my daughter too. So it's just like...
And do you feel like your granddaughter knows that you love her?
Yes. I really feel like she knows, and I think pretty soon she'll become more aware of her mom's illness. But right now, she's just making it one day at a time. And she's got a kind of personality that's very outgoing and loving and caring. And
your granddaughter.
Yes, and she's just been through a lot because both parents, even though they're separated, are very narcissistic and very into their addiction. So it's been quite a ride for my granddaughter. And I guess I've tried to do certain things to get her away from that situation, but it just hasn't. I just can't do it. You know, can't get.
Well, I wonder, Melody. I wonder what it would be like if you were just to focus on not needing to get her away, because it doesn't sound like that's possible, and it's really difficult for you to be in the situation. But to be able to have a relationship, whatever relationship you can have with your granddaughter by other means. In other words, if she talks on the phone, you can talk on the phone to her. You can text her. You can, you know, that sort of thing. So that she knows that you're there and that you're interested in her and thinking of her and like that. And then whenever you can be in the situation for a little while, you do that, not so it's detrimental to you, but just enough so that there is a little, you know, she remembers what you look like in case you're not doing FaceTime. But the primary part of your relationship just happens one-on-one with her via technology, which, you know, that her generation is good with that. They increasingly seem to prefer that to actually being with people.
That's a great idea. That's good. That's good advice.
What occurs to me about that is, because this is my primary focus with this, is it'll take some of the stress mm-hmm. off of you. You know, you'll have a way to love yeah. her and interact with her and do everything you can to take care of her without it taking such a toll on you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, we do that. We have we do a little Instagram, we do a little texting, we do mm-hmm. as much as we can. And
yeah.
I think I'll just continue doing that. And
yes.
And I have walked away a little, so I probably will continue on that.
Yeah, on that and I mean, maybe the two of you can go for a little walk once in a while, or, you know, whatever it is that you can do that doesn't put you in that place of just being stressed and sick and miserable.
Mm-hmm.
But let's her mm-hmm. know that you're there for her. Because as she grows and changes, as you say, and she gets older, she's very close to hitting the point where being in that relationship with her mother might not be her first choice. And then she's going to be looking for other avenues, and you're going to be one of those avenues because she knows
yeah.
that you are there for her. And it might just
yeah.
be a matter of needing to wait until a little more time goes by and she grows up a little bit more, and who knows how the relationship will develop as she gets a little older.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess my confusion also, one of the confusion is the fine line between enabling and being there in compassion and loving kindness. It's a really, not to my granddaughter so much as my daughter, it's a real fine line. And I guess
can you give me an example, Melody, of the enabling, what that might look like or what that concern is?
Yes, it's like I don't think that my daughter was capable of doing all the work to get my granddaughter into this private school that started up a few weeks ago. So I did all that work, and then she got in the school, and then I just felt like I had done too much, that I didn't allow my daughter to really do it herself. And I did.
Here's my encouragement. Here's my encouragement. Here's my encouragement, okay, for what it's worth. If your daughter says, Mom, you really need to back off and let me do this on my own, then you can back off and let her do it on her own. But it's not up to you to put her in a position to, do whatever and,
needs
that,
to be done. Yeah.
For me, from my perspective, your concern is your granddaughter. You want your granddaughter to get into this school. There's a chance your daughter
mm-hmm.
isn't going to be able to do that, so you do it. Your daughter, I suspect, is way beyond an age where she's going to be take very much guidance or direction from her mother, right?
No, and basically, we'll just see how long. She's already missed several days of school, and we'll just see. But I just have to let all that go and let
you
it
do.
All go.
You
and
do, Melody. You really do.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and
thank
so and you. The main thing that that you need to let go is that conversation in the head. So there are three people concerned here. One, you can love your daughter unconditionally, knowing that you are really not in a position to have any influence whatsoever except to love her unconditionally. with your granddaughter, you can let her know that you're there and you love her unconditionally and you're ready to support her in any way. And with Melody, you need to let her know that you're there and you love her unconditionally and not to let any of those voices of self-hate or ego come in and try to make any of this mean anything about her.
Right. Yes, thank you, Sherry. I really like that. And, you know, it's a process that it's been going on for so long that I've looked at it pretty closely. And I love the guidance.
Exactly.
And thank you.
And one other thing about it, Melody, one other thing to just, in case those voices start coming at you with, well, you should, or, yeah, but you this or that, just keep in mind that the only person you can save is Melody.
Is myself.
And that saving her is still the best role modeling you can do for your daughter and your granddaughter. So somebody in the family gets saved from suffering. And when they look around and want to know, is it possible to be saved from suffering? They can point to one person who did that.
All right. Love it.
Yeah, I'm serious about that. It really is. You know, people want to make all kinds of difference in people's lives, but ending your suffering is really the most profound difference that we can ever make in somebody else's life. Because everybody, whether they can articulate it or not, what they want is not to suffer. And if they see someone who knows how not to suffer, then they know that that's possible.
Right. I mean, I think we all think about what's up my life's purpose? What's the thing I need to do in this life? And it's really just enough to end suffering. It really is.
Yes, it's everything. Because with that ending suffering comes unconditional love. And that's a powerful combo.
Yes, it's a powerful combo.
And
I'm going to thank you. And I'm going to go forth on with ending suffering.
Yeah, and keep in touch about this, okay? Let me know how you're doing.
I wasn't sure if it was even appropriate to talk about, and then I got some encouragement.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely
appropriate.
Okay, good.
100%.
Okay. All right.
Thank
Aloha.
You. Thank you. Gosho. Aloha.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Melody. I have tears in my eyes over here, Sherry. Another amazing conversation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. You know, people are just so good. And that system inside us works so hard to make us believe we're not.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I really appreciated how you went into the details of, you know, what exactly is going on, Melody, how do you see these relationships and what are the specifics? And seems like, you know, that's where the opportunity lies, is in paying attention.
Yes. In practicing awareness.
Yes.
Right? Not in generalities or, you know, those platitudes. It's one of the things that I say regularly because, you know, I do love Jesus. And the love one another as I have loved you.
Hmm.
I mean, what is more beautiful than that? And everything in us conditioned human beings starts screaming, how? Right? How do we do that? Hmm. And it really is in breaking down our own lives in the way that we do in awareness practice, where we can see, okay, I get it, not that, all right,
yes.
I can take that step, right? And as we go along, then we see the beauty of a perspective like that unfold in front of us. Well, we can love one another the way we have been loved, in that unconditional way, whether you see that as God or the Buddha or Jesus or whatever, life. Yeah?
Yes.
We can do that. That is possible for us. It is a process. It is step by step. And it's not outside of our very own lives. Our very own lives are how we learn to take those steps.
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful. You want to take a break, Michael?
Yes, let's take a break, and we will we'll hear from our recording.
I thought that was coming.
We'll hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, I wanted to remind folks, given that we're talking about recording and listening, that there's an app for the iPhone just for that. It's called the Practice Recorder app. It's in the iPhone's App Store, and it's a great support for recording and listening practice.
Mm-hmm. It is. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Yes, sure.
It can be tricky in the beginning, huh, to sort out all that stuff, and if the technology is that much easier, well, then that just makes everything that much easier.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, Michael, this is Justin in Bear Valley. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Absolutely, Justin, perfectly. What's going on?
Not much. Hey, just quickly, I just wanted to jump on what Michael said about the Practice Recorder app, and it's been great in my experience for things that you do often to kind of help shape the experience you want, and it's easy to find those mm-hmm. recordings, so I've been enjoying that.
Oh, good. Good.
Yes. All right. Well, anyways, I notice I'm feeling pretty nervous.
You're
and
nervous.
I did want to bring up the I am nervous. A nervous physical sensations,
goodness.
I guess. I know, right? Mm-hmm, what's there to be nervous about?
What is there to be nervous? Anyways, I didn't want to say that. It sounds so, you know, dismissive somehow. So say more.
Yeah. No, I wanted to bring up the content of sexuality and sex. And I guess I'm just having a hard time kind of recording about it. I've made a couple, but it's kind of hard for me to talk about. And I guess in those recordings I've made, kind of what the assumption is or what the voices are saying is that, you know, all thinking about sex is bad and, like, that is the bad Zen student thing to be doing. So it's trying to shut down the conversation there. But then I see this duality operating that, like, okay, so on one hand, it's bad to think about sex, so you're the bad person if you do. But then on the other hand, there's this other duality where it's like, oh, would you just lighten up? You're 27. Come on, like this is a good time to be 27. Like you're not getting much out of that. So you got these two kind of two dualities operating at the same time.
Yes, absolutely. So there's just so much about that, Justin. Number one is, yeah, you're 27. If you were not having the hormonal response that would cause you to be aware of sex, you'd be worried about it, right? Because that's the time of life. I mean, there's a certain amount of it that's biological. You know, it's the species is counting on people having those urges, right? For us to go on. So there is that. And for me, the thing about it is, if I had my druthers, I would rather you thought about sex than lived in a self-hating conversation. Right? Because
right.
Thinking is thinking, right? And right. It's true in awareness practice, we do not want to be, this is an odd word, but victimized by thinking. You've been practicing long enough to know that there's a thought, and then there's a thought, and that triggers a thought, which is followed by a thought, which leads to a thought, and all roads lead to suffering.
Mm-hmm.
They just do, right? Thinking is a process. It's how ego is brought into existence and keeps its position of power in people's lives, right? So there is that. So with awareness practice, we want to get to the bottom of thinking, but the content is irrelevant. So you could be thinking about sex, you could be thinking about money, you could be thinking about beating people up, you could be thinking about sleeping, you could be, it doesn't matter. It's the thinking that is the issue.
Yes, so good. And then go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say quickly, what drops in is I was listening to a recording from this morning on the radio show, and the thing of chocolate came up, right? And as long as we think that chocolate is the problem, we're going to hate
exactly.
having to give that up. And it's almost like we're hating having to give up ego, right? But we never get to that realization because we're stuck on the chocolate
right.
or the sex.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. So this is awareness practice. And one of the, there's a book coming out. We have a book coming out. Ashwini's book is coming out, as a matter of fact. And
I'm looking forward to it.
Did you order it? Oh, good. I didn't want to bring that up in case you hadn't. But it's on a daily recollection. And the thing that she does in there with unchaste conduct, I think, is one of the most brilliant things that I've ever encountered, because so many people who have any kind of religious or spiritual bent are completely traumatized over the issue of sexuality, which is really too bad, because it just, in the same way that you just brought up with chocolate, it absolutely and utterly misses the point. But my God, does ego get a lot of mileage out of it. So from the time of puberty on, right, it's this whole, right, because it's not just sex, it's relationships, and are you attractive, and does anybody want you, and if they don't, why, and how did that happen there, and is that, it's just on and on and on and on, which, again, misses the point completely. So if we separate those things out, and you bring conscious awareness. Now, this is the really, really tricky part. This is the part where people just go, oh, no, Sherry, not that. And it's been especially so with people living monastically, but it doesn't have to be, okay? that what I always encourage people to do is approach their sexuality with eyes wide open. Approach it as you would approach any and everything else in awareness practice. So a lot of people, of course, have the sexual aspect of themselves happen in almost total unconsciousness because mm-hmm. they feel bad and guilty. So I've actually had people tell me, you know, I couldn't have sex with conscious awareness. That I don't think I could do that. Well, find out if you can, because that's the mm-hmm. only way you're ever going to be able to sort out what is actually sexual, what ego has done with sexual, and then everything that follows that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
right.
In that
right.
way,
it all comes
see,
to
yeah.
It all yes. comes back to awareness, yeah. right? That's the only way you're ever going to become aware. Who would have thought?
That's exactly right. And so it's the same rules, right? No self-hatred, eyes wide open, conscious awareness, not being duped because people will think, oh, well, but fantasy is so pleasurable and being present isn't. We're not falling uh-huh. for that one. There's nothing uh-huh. as pleasant as being present. And so when sexuality is an issue, I mean, you're going to want to see how do those sensations relate to those thoughts, relate to those behaviors, relate to those, you know, how do I get the chocolate? You know, why I'm up at 3:00 in the morning sneaking chocolate out of the refrigerator. Really, what is going on with me? Right? So it's that whole thing. It's just one piece of content like all the other content in the world. It just carries so much more suffering than a lot of other content.
Right, exactly. So there's probably that much more to see in it. So, yeah, good. That's all the stuff to work with, right?
And I'll tell you, you're at a perfect age to free yourself of this nonsense. Right?
Right?
So that you can have your sexuality be a happy, healthy part of your being in the same way as fitness and food and getting enough sleep and doing something that you really enjoy for your livelihood and being the very best person that you can possibly be. All of that comes with conscious awareness.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This feels it feels liberating, and I'm excited to move
good.
Forward.
Good. And let's keep talking about it. You know, sometimes people will say to me, "Well, you know, why don't you people ever talk about sex?" And my response is, "Do you notice I never talk about anything that anybody else doesn't bring up?"
Right. Right.
Right. And
right.
so, if
and
somebody wants to talk about sex, they have to talk about sex.
Yeah, exactly. And I got inspired because I was listening to the archives like a couple days ago, and someone brought up sex. And it was when you guys were during the year-long retreat, and I think one of the content areas was sexuality. And I was like, oh, man, that could be interesting. So,
that's right.
Anyways,
I'm
going
to go back and listen to that month.
Well, unfortunately, I missed that. I wasn't with you guys last year. So I don't know. I'll have to – we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'll see it. I know some people who might be able to. We'll see. I mean, I don't know if that's possible, but I will bring it up. And actually, there are people listening in who have that influence, so we'll see what they have to say.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Sherry. I really appreciate it. And thanks, Michael.
You are welcome, sir. Take good care of yourself. Good night.
Yeah. Have a good one. All right. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Justin. And that was another great conversation, Sherry. And in the interest of time,
we're on a roll here, huh?
I'm gonna restrain myself from saying anything else. And go to the next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Ann calling from the Bay Area. I'm surprised I got unmuted.
Hi, Ann.
See there? You're always surprised, Ann, when you get unmuted. But when you call, you just have to expect that we're going to talk to you.
I know.
What are you up to?
I think I'm a little identified, and I've just been so grateful to be listening to the radio show program and you know, the beacon of sanity that it is. So yeah.
What are you identified with? But I mean, ego, obviously, but is there any particular content to it?
Well, I just had a bad day in terms of, you know, looking at jobs and, you know, trying to focus on that, and it was just not fun. And I know people who've lost their houses. You know, I know people who have stage 4 cancer, and now this poor man shot in the back 7 times. I mean, and so I just, you know, it's like, get a grip. You know?
Yeah.
That's what it's like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. But, Anne, you've been practicing for a long time, so you know that the same voice that said, get a grip, tortured you all day long, right, making everything you did unhappy or unpleasant or whatever. Wow. So it tortures you all day long and then tells you that you're a bad sport for not having enjoyed it.
Well, and, you know, I saw this process, surprise, surprise, I saw part of my karma, because I remember being in school I don't think it was graduate school. I think it was undergraduate. And I had a paper due. I had all this stuff to do. And I just, so much stress around school was not fun for me at all. I really enjoyed learning, but there was just so much put on top of that.
And I didn't even go, so you don't have to convince me how much fun school wasn't. I know exactly what you mean. And thank God learning is not limited to school.
Oh, thank heaven. I mean, all of the conditioning. Yeah, but I just feel back in that same anxious, I'm expected to do something I can't do. And, you know, I was meditating this morning, and this reassurance came through. It's like, you don't have to be anybody other than who you are. And it was just like,
There you go. It, at every level, right? It's okay to feel how you feel. It's okay to be having the experience you're having. It's perfectly fine. And that's really the only thing, the only place we suffer, isn't it? So you're doing this, and instead of somebody being there with you who's saying, gosh, you're doing a great job here, because you don't really enjoy this, do you? but you're doing it. You're doing it. That's really quite heroic, right? And then you go, you grumble and gripe, and the person says, yeah, well, I don't blame you for, I mean, it's not fun. You're not having a good time. How can we make it fun? Maybe we could, let's have a cup of tea. Let's break this down. What would you like to do? How would you, right? It would be a whole different experience. But instead, most of us are going through it with that nasty voice in the head just waiting to pounce on us.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it just reminds me of Ram Dass's quote of, you know, life is so hard, it's amazing we don't go through it holding hands. And I just feel like that's what Sangha is. You know, we get to hold hands.
So I have this. Are you going to do the same kind of thing tomorrow, Anne? You have to bite the bullet and get up and
I've been doing yoga every day, and that's really helped. So I will go to a Zoom yoga class in the morning, and then I will probably do some, you know, find a way to move the energy, which is, you know, yoga is very helpful for that.
Well, I have another one for you, okay?
Okay.
And that is to take regular breaks to hold your hands.
Oh, that's great.
Can't you picture it? Right? And so you get out your recorder and you hold your hands
and
have a conversation about who you are and how you are in your life and what's going on and how you're feeling and what you're seeing and while you hold hands.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And, you know, Sherry, I've just been so moved by the kindness of people. There's just such amazing human beings in the world.
Yeah.
And but I really, that's a wonderful, wonderful practice. Thank you for that.
You can tell your yoga teacher. I mean, wouldn't that be great, you know? As we, you know, when you're lying, Shavasana at the end of the class? Not yoga nidra, because that's where you're dead, right? You don't want to do that. You want to do Shavasana. And you could lie there holding hands. Not with one another, just with yourself.
No,
you could even hold your hands over your heart so that so that you're reminded of Gusho.
Yeah, there's this beautiful where they say at the end of Shavasana, they say put your hands on your heart or someplace that brings you comfort at the end of Shavasana. So that's wonderful. Yes. Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you so much. It's just so wonderful to have all these practice supports. And I'm just loving the, I've got to call into the radio show because I'm just loving our new focus.
Yes. And now when you do call in, don't be surprised if we talk to you. just be aware that it could happen.
It's such a huge sangha, and the odds of getting on are so overwhelming. But it's wonderful.
Well,
thank you.
You know what,
thank you,
Anne? You know what, Anne? That is really true. And the thing that astounds me just over and over and over again is the people who wind up speaking so often are the people who really need to wind up speaking.
Isn't that beautiful?
I mean, it really is. It's one of those places that helps me keep in mind how cared for we are. I've, of course, over the years, I've watched that happen just over and over and over and over again. It feels quite magical.
Are you saying,
in
Sherry, that we're not in control?
That we're not what?
And we're not in control, and we can let go and know that life has our back? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, it's worse than that. Not only are we not in control, we're not even separate.
Wow.
I know.
And we are. Amazing about practice, we get to experience the miracle of that.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
So thank you, my dear.
Take care
of yourself. Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Michael?
Yes?
Michael, before we say adieu, it occurred to me to say to Justin, hopefully he's still with us and still listening, he should write in and ask if there's anything that can be done for him to get that those classes that he's working on now.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Great.
So
I think he's
along to him.
Yeah, I think he's still with us, so hopefully he got
that
message there.
All right.
Another fabulous show. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Michael. Take good care of yourself.
You too. Go happy.
Okay. Go happy.